Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' blowout win over the Chicago Bulls at Oracle Arena, where we were podcasting in a little bit of a different style as we were doing segments after each quarter. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. We're here at Oracle Arena, and after one quarter, wow, who would have thought 32-29, Chicago Bulls leading the Warriors. And, you know, without Kevin Durant and without Draymond Green, you thought maybe they could have a little bit of an issue. But a team that's only won three games this year, you know, at that point you think, well, they're not going to be down in any quarter.
Fire Steve Kerr, clearly. I mean, this is a terrible job by everybody involved. No, I mean, Durant's out, Green is out, and what hurt is Steph Curry got an early foul trouble. He got a couple of early fouls. That messes up rotation on a night where it's already a little thin. And then Jordan Bell gets three fouls. You've got a lineup with Quinn Cook, Omri Caspi, Klay Thompson, JaVale McGee. That's not a lineup I figured at any point this year. So if you had that on your squares, you probably just won about $1 million.
One of the real highlights, I thought, in the first quarter was Jordan Bell blocking a shot. And the other thing was Jordan Bell dunking one off the feed from Pachulia on a steal by Zaza. So we saw some things there in the first quarter that we haven't seen.
Zaza Pachulia is your leading scorer after the first quarter. That's what a strange night this is. Denzel Valentine had a nice run for the Bulls with 10 points. He's had a slow start to his rookie season, only shooting 38%. I mean, this Bulls team is very, very early in their development. Markkanen is going to be an easy, interesting guy going forward. He'll be a tough matchup for some teams. But David West is going to be coming in. They're going to get Livingston in the second quarter. We'll see if they get some veteran stabilization here.
Well, they have a couple of seven-footers in the lineup, and to see Jordan Bell block that shot the way he did against Lopez, I mean, I just thought that was pretty amazing, his vertical leaping ability.
Oh, it's incredible. He scared everybody in the arena with the somersault after that as well, with Jordan Bell. But he popped up, and he's okay. I'd imagine they get Curry in early in the second quarter, because his minutes were limited in the first quarter. The Bulls are not great defensively. The Warriors can get to the rim almost at will. It's going to be a track meet tonight, though.
More Dubs OT right after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cal Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
So we're doing the podcast a little bit differently tonight at Oracle Arena, and it's 74-53 in favor of the Warriors over the Bulls, and we're also doing Facebook Live. We're doing all this technology. We've got Ryan Leong, our reporter and cameraman extraordinaire, and amazingly, I don't know, maybe he's really good at picking games, because he said that it would be a 20-point blowout for the Warriors. They're up by 21 at the half. But Ray, the most amazing thing to me is the way Curry is playing. They have 26 points in the second quarter. Sensational moves, three-pointers, and that amazing flip shot with his offhand spinning it off the glass. Just, you know, vintage Curry.
Well, last time we talked about getting Curry in there early in the second quarter, Well, he started the second quarter, right? Because he was foul trouble in the first quarter with a couple right away, first few minutes. 5 points in the first quarter. Third quarter, Steph showed up in the second quarter. He ends up with 26 points, 31 for the half. Both are season highs for the Warriors. For a while there, I thought he was going after Clay's record the way he was going. He was in complete schoolyard mode. The Bulls have nothing that can stop him, and he was just having fun out there. So I'd anticipate you'll get third quarter Steph in the third quarter, and they're going to look to finish this one off early tonight, and I think Ryan's 20 points is going to be safe.
I think Curry should have had more than 30 points in that first half. He had a couple of them that went in and out, and the Bulls just can't keep up with him. I mean, he's got all of these moves going. I love the way he has sort of that slow move, and then he accelerates to the basket. You keep thinking, okay, I've got a guard against this jumper, and the next thing you know, he's right by you.
Well, he can do that. We've seen that. Part of his game, I don't know if it's underappreciated, maybe we don't talk about it enough, is the way he finishes at the rim. He's so much better at that now than in the early stages of his career, and that speaks to the strength that he's built up. I mean, he's never going to be huge, but he's a lot more yoked than he was earlier days. He can get to the rim, and I think that's part of the Warriors' frustration. They're saying, hey, he's getting to the rim. He's using his body properly when he drives to the rim, and he's not getting the calls. He did get some here in the second quarter. And, you know, they know who the hot hand is, and that's the great thing about this team. The night Clay went crazy against Sacramento, they made sure he got the ball. Everybody knew he was getting the ball. Everybody knew Curry was getting the ball here in the second quarter. There was nothing the Bulls could do to stop him.
You know, I think this is the kind of game where the Warriors really could have relaxed. They're playing a team that has three wins so far this year, 3-13. But having Durant out, his ankle's bugging him right now, and having Draymond Green just sitting out, resting, you know, kind of test some of the other guys. We're seeing some playing time for some different players. I think Jordan Bell, we talked about it in the first quarter, he was pretty impressive. I mean, just the way he could jump out of the building, he looks like he's fitting in better and better every day.
Well, when he gets playing time, right? And they finally opened up some time for him tonight. He has been sitting. They know that it's a long season. They'll work him in. And, you know, he's used to playing a college basketball season that's 35 games or so. So, and of course, they went to the Final Four last year. They had an extended season, but it's nothing like the NBA, right, in your rookie year. That's an adjustment, but he seems very fresh. He's going to work himself more and more into the rotation, I think. You didn't see McCaw, you know, until the last minute of the first half, and that's, you know, this is the ebb and flow between him and Nick Young, right? And, you know, Nick Young didn't play that much either. It's just tough when you're going 13 deep, right, and finding playing time for all these guys. So you're going to see rotating rest. And tonight it was Draymond Green and, of course, Kevin Durant with the ankle. That opened up some minutes for other people. It certainly opened up shots for Steph Curry. You knew this was going to be a night. He was going to take maximum advantage of that. And, oh, by the way, Clay with a very pedestrian 14 on 6-for-9.
Seems to me like in this first month of the season, Ray, that the Warriors are constantly looking for ways to motivate themselves. You know, and that's Steve Kerr's job. But after that loss in Oklahoma City, I mean, they got their butts kicked. Let's face it. They didn't play well. And Oklahoma City was fired up for that game. Their offense had been criticized. The Thunder offense has been criticized the whole first part of this season. They came out strong with their big three players, so maybe the Warriors took a little bit of motivation from that. You know, yeah, the Bulls aren't the greatest opponent, but they want to come out here and blow them out, and they got back-to-back games as well to kind of show what they can do.
And that's, I think, also figures into the decision that Kerr had on resting Draymond and Kevin Durant, have them ready for tomorrow night against the Pelicans. The thing about Oklahoma City was a lot of Warrior misses, a lot of Warrior turnovers. OKC got out into the open floor, and we know what Westbrook can do. And now he knows he has Carmelo on one side, Paul George on another. Paul George played very well. You give Oklahoma City all the credit in the world. They were primed for that game, but the Warriors were just awful. They were. You have to say that as well. It's going to happen. It's November. They're working through a few things. They're going to be fine. You know, November worries in the NBA, usually for a team of this talent, they're not February or March worries. They're going to smooth it out.
All right, Warriors shooting close to 60% in this game. They're right at 60%, actually. They updated that. They changed that. 27 for 45 in the first half for the Warriors. So 60%. What do you think, Ray? They've got 74 points at the half. Maybe a 150-point game, or are they going to just, you know, slow it down by the time they get to the fourth?
Well, you might have bench guys in the fourth quarter, so it's hard to say what the pace is going to be. But second quarter, it was about defense too. I mean, they got out and ran, and Steph Curry does what he does in transition. And the Bulls, I think, were at 56% in the first quarter. They're down to 42% now. They scored 21 points in the second quarter, 45-21 Warriors to take control of this. So it was like the third quarter came early.
Steph Curry outscored the Bulls all by himself in that second quarter, 26-21. And after the game, he was asked if he saw that quarter and that kind of hot streak coming.
I didn't. So I think the second three I hit in transition coming down, the Zaza Jordan, JB set a great screen, is able to knock it down. Actually, it might have been D. West. But anyway, just you'll have those kind of momentum plays where you start to open up the game. And then from there, just staying aggressive and got to the free throw line as well. So things started to flow. But I'd probably say that three right before the timeout, early in the second quarter, where you start to get a rhythm and your shot feels good and you're getting some open ones, that's when the avalanche starts.
That's Steph Curry, who ended up with 33 points on the night for Golden State. We'll have more Dubs OT right after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With four Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
We'll talk about the third quarter of the Warriors' blowout win over the Bulls on Friday in just a moment, but first let's hear part of the conversation that Ray Woodson had recently with Warriors center Zaza Pachulia.
I want you to tell me what it was like going back to Georgia as an NBA champion.
It was amazing. Obviously, it's my 15th year right now, and those guys have been supporting me since day one. And you guys can see, you guys can tell, they love sports, they love basketball, and they take it serious, and they're proud of it. For me to represent my country overseas for such a long time and at such a high level, so I take it very serious as well. It's an honor for me to be was captain of the national team for years. I played for national team for 17 years, and every move I make and every decision I make, it's obviously thinking about my country, thinking about my people, make sure they getting something out of it, positive. That I'm representing my country the right way. So it's a mutual love between the Georgians and myself. So. It's been great. It was a really special summer, obviously, going there as a world champ. There are so many happy faces and so many people just congratulating and, celebrating with me. Like, they were acting like they won the championship with me, and, I wanted them to feel that way as well, because this trophy wasn't mine. I mean, I took the trophy back there and, I said, like, that's yours. The Georgia deserved it. Georgia earned this, but it continues. Hopefully we're going to have a lot of days like that, especially a small country like Georgia. Those kind of successes are so important for us to move forward. Again, it's not about me. It's about the country. It's about the youth. It's about the kids that they've been watching and they love basketball. They dream about being a basketball player. Hopefully with this success, the world they have a Georgian world champion, hopefully I can open the doors for others too. Because again, it's so important. It's so important to... for the country to have a love of this game, right, and to have the talented players, and we do, and hopefully more and more Georgians, are going to be on a playing professional level.
Did you fill that trophy with some of that Georgian wine?
We were joking about it, like our tradition, when a team wins the trophy, they pour the wine in the trophy and drink out of it, but that Larry O'Brien trophy was sealed closed, but we were joking about, can we open it? Like, to open the top. But to show the respect, they didn't do anything with it. But again, you could tell it was an amazing 1 week of celebration. From students to kids to the elders to the women, everybody had the opportunity to come, take a picture with the trophy and you know, just, you know, for me to talk that, you know, what I went through, because it was an easy year for me on and off the court. Like, you probably remember off the court the incidents I had. Actually, on the court incidents carried over off the court, right? You know, either social media or, you know, critics, etc. But again, that's why I'm so thankful and, you know, so happy to this team where they understood my situation and they got my back. Coaching staff, that, you know, they told me, like, you know, the most important thing, what we feel about you, what we think about you, not the outsider. So they helped me a lot mentally, and, you know, again, I enjoyed last year. It was a great experience, though. Like, I think mentally I got better and I got stronger. And I've been telling to us one of the things that I learned from last year. You can be the best shape possible physically, but if mentally you're not ready and you're not strong, it's hard to win a championship, you know, because obviously being part of this kind of caliber team, you're getting so much attention from, you know, think about it, all the 29 other teams' fans or 39 other teams looking at you as a, like, biggest opponent. You know, they don't care about the other 29, they care about you because, you know, you're the favorite one, you know. So that's why mental toughness is important, you know, for anybody to be, if you want to be successful.
Well, Ray, after the first quarter, it seemed like a pretty good game. And then the Warriors just took over. Curry was great in the second quarter. Third quarter, Klay Thompson on fire. And we've seen some great plays from Jordan Bell, some blocks. He's got four of them. One of them that you and I were looking at each other saying, man, I mean, his athleticism, the finesse that he had on that one block, it was really terrific.
Yeah, running the floor with Denzel Valentine, and you could see he lined him up and timed it. Did a little stutter step behind him before he raised up for a block that I don't think you see a lot of other Warriors make. Iguodala on his best day, maybe. Kevin Durant. That was something special. One of the highlights of this third quarter. Defense is a story here, too, because the Bulls got 32 in the first quarter. They've had 34 since, 12 for 51 from the floor since the end of the first quarter, and they were shooting over 50% of the first quarter. So they got the Warriors' attention. And the other part was Steph Curry again had the early foul trouble. He came out in the second quarter, got in third quarter mode with that 26 points, and they pulled him late in the third quarter. He's got 33. Klay's got 29. Klay got hot in the third quarter, and it's just an absolute blowout now. They were going to schoolyard mode, and I think at that point Steve Kerr said, let's get the subs in there, save these guys some minutes, and I don't see anybody over 30, and they've got a back-to-back with New Orleans tomorrow.
I thought that there were a couple scary moments, really, in this game. The Jordan Bell flying into the stands after he had one of his blocks, and Zaza Pachulia getting fouled by Lopez. He stole the ball from Lopez. He was going in for an easy layup or dunk, and Lopez decided to put both of his arms on top of Pachulia's shoulders. He got a flagrant foul for it, but, man, he almost hurt Zaza.
Yeah, that's almost, to me, one of those fake hustle plays, all right? You lost the ball. Okay, go down and try to block it if you can, but just draping the guy and going full McHale on him in a 33-point blowout. That's just stupid. He got a flagrant one out of it, and that's the least of what he should have gotten. And fortunately, Zaza was okay. So now that he's okay, I must say, I enjoyed the pachyderm race.
You know, I was thinking, too, if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm looking for little moments in this game to kind of decide, you know, as far as playing time. And whatever he's done right now with Andre Iguodala, I think it's working. He looks so fresh, you know, in his jump shots. Sometimes he looks a little deader. You know, his knees aren't really going well because he's getting older. So whatever they figured out as far as the rotation with him, it seems to be working tonight.
Yeah, I can tell you the knees don't respond when you're getting older, not every night. But, you know, they got him to a new contract, so they really have to handle it with care now going into his mid-30s. He can still be, you know, the Philadelphia Andre, springy on a given night, but they just want to make sure he's there for them in the postseason against particular matchups, including the Cavaliers, should they face him in the finals. So you'll see as time goes on, year after year, they're going to ramp down Iguodala's minutes to make sure he's fresh, and with the depth they have, they'll be able to do that.
More Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
A nice little experiment as we were able to come to you after each quarter. And the first quarter, Ray, close, and the Bulls had the lead. After that, all Warriors just demolishing the Bulls. Kind of looked like the Globetrotters against the Generals or something like that.
Yeah, it was the JV in there at the end. I mean, it was 40-40 at one point in this game, and the Warriors win 143-94. Biggest blowout win of the year. You mentioned experiment. It was an experiment night for Steve Kerr as well, because Draymond Green was out. Kevin Durant out. They were resting him with the ankle, getting ready for tomorrow night with New Orleans. The Pelicans are going to be playing on the second night of a back-to-back as well, as they beat Phoenix tonight by 21. But an experiment to see what lineups, what rotations are going to work tonight. Again, these are, I think, for Steve Kerr early in the season, at least for him, and maybe for the players too, to get their interest, putting on the lab coats and seeing what works. They had Caspi and Bell starting. Then in the second quarter, Steph Curry came back, started the quarter because he was in foul trouble in the first quarter. And he had one of those third quarter Steph Curry moments in the second quarter with 26 points. Klay got hot in the third quarter, and that was it. Good night. The Bulls are a rough squad right now, and the Warriors made him look every bit of that. You got to see a lot of minutes for a lot of these bench players. I'm seeing double-digit minutes for just about everybody who came in off the bench. So that was a good thing. You know, again, on the first night of a back-to-back, nobody played more than 30 minutes. You saw a lot of Nick Young there at the end. He tried valiantly to close the gap in shots taken. That is one of the most amazing stats from tonight. The Warriors beat the Bulls by 49, and the Bulls had 8 more shots in this game.
How is that possible? I have no idea. But, you know, I'm looking at Steve Kerr on the bench while garbage time is going on, and I don't think he's really enjoying it. I don't think any coach likes to see that garbage time. And, you know, Nick Young trying to put on a show for the fans, and, you know, it is entertaining, no doubt. But I don't know that really accomplishes much as far as your overall goal of with everybody trying to play together, move the ball, all that, when he's just playing one-on-one.
Well, that's what he's going to do. That's a Nick Young kind of a game there. I don't know if Kerr is really surprised by that at all. And with a big lead, you kind of give him a little leeway on that. I think when JaVale McGee rose up for what looked like a three-pointer on the wing and he got stripped, that might have been a moment where you said, all right, that's enough of that. Everybody had a good laugh about that, though, on the bench, it looked like. You know, those are the sloppy moments you get against a bad team in a blowout win. I tell you, though, Jordan Bell was special tonight on the defensive end. What do you have? 5 blocks.
5 blocks, yeah.
The last block was actually missed block attempt, missed time jump, first time coming back with the second jump, showing how much spring he had to get the block. And, of course, the highlight reel will be the block on Denzel Valentine going full court. You know, to say this guy is fresh is an understatement. I don't know how you work him in. It depends on the team they're playing, of course. Tonight was a perfect opportunity for him, and look what he did. Starting at the 4, you know, 4/5, Zaza was in there to start. But Bell ends up with 7 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and the 5 blocks. Pretty nice little line for him. I thought Kevon Looney was pretty good off the bench. Young had 17 points in 19 minutes doing what he does. I mean, you know, nice to see Quinn Cook come up from Santa Cruz and get 4 points in 13 minutes. So, I mean, all-around effort. Zaza played very well early in this game, and Zaza was taking shots early. He ends up making every shot he takes, 3-for-3 from the field, 5-for-5 from the line. Fortunately, he survived the hack of Zaza from Robin Lopez there.
Yeah, he had a couple of steals. He had that great pass to Jordan Bell, that alley-oop that Bell stuffed home in the first quarter. I mean, I think Bell has come a long way already. We're only a month into the season, and you saw the progress. I mean, just from day one, I know you interviewed him early on, and, you know, he was kind of tired coming back from China when you had talked to him, which, you know, that trip was tough for everybody. And, you know, slowly but surely getting sporadic minutes, that's not easy for any player. But tonight, he just looked so comfortable out there. He knew he was going to play a lot, and he really kind of set the stage for this win, I thought.
Well, we heard the coaches raving about Jordan Bell in training camp and saw him a little bit early on. And the one thing that we heard was he doesn't look out of place. He knows where to be. He doesn't look overwhelmed. He's out there to compete. I think the moment that cracked everybody up was when he did the throw off the backboard and slam. I think that was in Dallas.
Right.
And Steph was like, he didn't just do that, did he? And Steve Kerr had to tell me, you know, that's probably not good in a blowout to rub it in like that. And I don't think Jordan Bell was thinking that way. But the league, I don't think, is too big for this guy. He's going to bring a special skill set here. You know, he had a steal late in the game where he went coast to coast. And then he drove right, hit a runner off the glass, and won. Wow. I mean, you know, it's a blowout. So what? But, you know, showing little bits of the skill, the toolbox that he has. I mean, I don't know if he's eventually going to be a three-point shooter on top of everything else. But he does have some offensive skill. He does have some offensive game, as well as the rebounding and the block shots. I just how do you get in the minutes? That's the problem right now.
You know, this team could have been down a little bit after losing to Oklahoma City. Maybe the Bulls are the perfect remedy. I mean, you know, you win by, what, 49 points tonight. That's their biggest win of the year. I don't know if it matters what the point margin was. I think it's more, okay, are we playing better basketball than we did? We had to correct some things. You know, just a bad loss in Oklahoma City. Yeah, that's a good team, but I thought the Warriors were sloppy in that game. They were taking some shots that they shouldn't have been taking. It was the same kind of thing in the Celtics game. I felt like they, in the last 5 minutes of that Celtics game, they were jacking up some shots that they shouldn't have been. They should have been working the ball around. This was just a great effort of, you know, everybody getting involved and moving the ball. This is what Steve Kerr's looking for.
Well, in the Boston game, I think in the last 4 minutes, 9 of the 12 shots they took were threes, and they were 2 for 12. And Oklahoma City, you're right, the shot selection was poor, especially in the second and third quarter. And that's what a team with some length and ability to cover the ground and switch and guard different positions, and both those teams have those kinds of players, that'll get the Warriors a little bit uncomfortable. So for them, it's they've got to be a little more attentive to detail and the kinds of passes they throw. The passes they threw against the Bulls in this defense tonight, some of them get deflected against OKC and Boston. That's something they've got to be mindful about. It's an adjustment they can make. And, you know, they get the right shot. By and large, they're going to make them. They were missing some. They missed a lot in the second half in Boston. Some of it was bad shot selection. Some of it was they just missed. And part of that is when a defense makes you feel uncomfortable, you start missing those open shots too. So there's a combination of things in OKC. But by and large, and I think Steve Kerr said it, the intensity level was not met. OKC was ready to go in this game. They had their ears pinned back. And the Warriors never were able to keep up with that. It'll happen in a game in November against a team with Russell Westbrook on TV, a large part of the country. And they're going to try to take it to the Warriors in a game like that. And they probably knew that intellectually, but emotionally sometimes it's hard to get there. I know I sound like I'm making excuses for the team, but they played 300 games in the last 3 years. They know they have to pace themselves. I don't fret about a November game. I think the coaches have to. But I think if it's a fan, you don't worry about it. They understand what went wrong in OKC. They'll fix it.
You know that things are going well when people are talking more about your losses than your wins. I mean, everybody's, you know, focusing on the 5 losses that the Warriors have, not really that they have overall been playing really well. And now they're going to play a Pelicans team that, yeah, I mean, they might be improved. I mean, they're kind of middle of the road right now. They're a couple games above 500. They had to play on the road, like you had said before, back-to-backs. You know, they've got Boogie Cousins now trying to fit in there with Anthony Davis. It's a different type of team. I'm sure they're going to come in here just like any team and, you know, play really hard, try to get a win or at least keep it close against the Warriors. But this Warriors team looks like they're primed to, hey, let's take care of business at home. We got a long road trip coming up fairly soon. Want to really get things going in sync here.
I said before the last road trip, you know, they play better on the road sometimes. That wasn't the case this time around. It's very uneven effort. So I think they're going to set about to get more consistent at both ends of the floor on that next road trip. You know, New Orleans, I mean, you got a couple of big guys who can definitely hurt the Warriors that are create matchup problems, but there's not a whole lot else there with them. That's the problem for New Orleans. And I think I would look for Draymond Green figuring out a way to get inside Boogie's head once again, getting him out of the game mentally.
Will Kevin Durant play in that game on Saturday against the Pelicans? Steve Kerr addressed the media about that question after the game.
I would call him doubtful. I mean, we don't know for sure, but you know, we probably shouldn't have played him Wednesday. You know, I thought he was fine. We thought he was fine, but then he got a little sore afterwards, and you know, it's I'm sure the league is happy with us because we played him on their marquee game with Russ and all that stuff, and but you know, he came out sore the next day, so we shouldn't have played him, and so now we've got to be careful, and I don't think it's anything serious, but we got to make sure he's right, so I would say he's doubtful.
By the way, this game, I don't know, you know, Ryan Leong said 20-point win at least. He was right. I didn't think it was going to be close, but I don't know how you set point spreads for a game like this. It's pretty hard. I mean, you know, were the guys thinking, you know, biggest win of the year so far, 49 against this team? I don't know. I think it's pretty hard to figure out how much a team is going to beat another by.
Well, yeah, especially in a game like this where two of your better players are out. That's a third rail kind of a game if I'm a better. It's radioactive. I would stay away from that. As it turns out, it went all the Warriors' way. But probably the point where it's 40-40, some people were sweating that. I don't know what the final number was on the betting line. I do pay attention to that if it's fairly close. I always look for the, you know, the garbage time shot that's a cover that has people ripping up their papers and the MGM Grand. I love that stuff because that's what you get for betting on basketball games. But, yeah, that wasn't an issue tonight.
By the way, do you think the concessions, the sales were down a little bit tonight? I know I didn't eat much today after Thanksgiving. I ate so much yesterday. I can't imagine that a lot of people were eating a lot of food today after what we did yesterday for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, everything seemed a little quieter today, you know.
Except the thunder sticks that were around us right here.
Yeah, well, lucky us. You know, thank God the game's over. It reminded me of the O2 World Series. That's.
I know. Why do we want to remember that here in the Bay Area? I know I don't.
You know, I guess none of these fans remember, or they're not baseball fans, whatever the case may be. Yeah, I don't. I was not ready to eat anything but stuffing sandwiches today myself. I mean, you get the gravy, a little bit of cranberry, maybe some candied walnuts, and you're good to go. I don't even need the turkey, okay? That's how much I love stuffing, especially the way my wife makes it. And again, and I said it on the show on 95.7 The Game this afternoon, I must have pecan pie. We got leftover pecan pie at home that's waiting for me. So I'm fired up about that. So I did, yeah, I held back today because I know that pecan pie is waiting. A lot of people like the pumpkin for Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. I must have pecan pie there as well. You go have your pumpkin. That's more for me. That's a hill I will die on.
I'm with you on that. Okay, before you get to your pecan pie, on the last road trip, yeah, Klay Thompson gets, you know, interviewed on some local station about scaffolding. I thought it was so funny. I mean, it's like, do you think 10, 15 years ago, anybody would have cared if a Warrior was interviewed in New York about scaffolding? Now people care, and it was just funny. I mean, he was so cool about it. You know, yeah, I usually, you know, I watch for those breaks in the scaffolding, whatever he was talking about. It doesn't even matter. When it's the Warriors, I mean, everybody's paying attention to everything they do.
Well, yeah, they love him. And two things about 15 years ago, social media wouldn't have been what it is now. Second of all, yeah, if they interview AC Law, it would be like, oh, that's kind of an amusing moment. But it's Klay, so it's hilarious because it's like, oh, yeah, that's so Klay. That's something he'd get involved in somehow, just a random moment like that. And he comes up with a detailed answer about, well, I look for the scaffolding to see whether it's worn or old or not before I think about walking under it. And I think either he really does think about that or he just made up that answer. Either way, it was awesome.
All right, happy Thanksgiving weekend to everybody. Thanks for watching us on Facebook Live and joining us on Dubs OT Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors Podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.